Hello, beloved, and welcome to part 12 of the privileges that we have as believers, as we look at our privileges from a biblical perspective. And wow, isn't it amazing to know that we have so many privileges as believers? Now, if you can recall, last week we looked at God is our shield and God is our tower. Now, in this Bible study, we're going to look at some more privileges that we have as believers. Before we do that, though, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you, and thank you for all the privileges that you give us as believers, as your saints, saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And I want to pray, Father, as we study your word and as we look at what the scripture has to say about our privileges, Father, will you please make it our own so that we can walk in it and live in it, and have an expectation even for eternity, for the future. Enable me as your servant to teach your people, I pray, Father, please, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay. Now, the first one we're going to look at today, for this week, is that we have God as our light. That's a privilege that we have as saints. Now, obviously, when we think of the fact God is our light, the idea is the light is the opposite of darkness, isn't it? So, if God is our light, then it means that God is the one that lights up our way. God is the one who penetrates the darkness and actually shows us what's really happening. And through God, we have the privilege of knowing things that in the past was hidden. Because God is our light. But it's interesting how David says it in Psalm 27, verse 1. This is what David says. David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Very interesting. Because God is his light, God is his salvation, David says, basically, he doesn't have to fear anyone. It's so beautiful, isn't it? You see, when we look at light, the concept of light, specifically from a biblical perspective, there's always a positive connotation to light. Light is one of those picture words in the Bible, nah? And it's an important picture word, because this picture word in the Bible tells us that light, basically, is or refers to redemption in contrast to darkness, which refers to or points towards condemnation. All right, so light is redemption, darkness is condemnation. Can you see how positive light is? Because light speaks about salvation. Light speaks about God's plan to save sinners from their sin. Right, but light is also used in Scripture for comfort. So if David says, "The Lord is my light," he is actually also saying, "The Lord is my comfort." Because it's much more comfortable or easy to walk in the light where you can see everything and where you will not hit your head against something or your foot against something. It's much easier to walk in light than it is to try to get around in darkness. So in that sense, God is, now how David says it, "The Lord is my light." Very personal, very, very personal. But in Scripture, light also relates to good fortune. So whenever the Scripture speaks about light, it speaks about good fortune. It speaks about victory, for example, as well. It speaks about justice, not true justice, not the kind of justice that we see in the world today, which is a crooked justice, but real, true, God-given justice. But then light also refers in the Bible to righteousness and guidance and deliverance. Light is associated with all of these things. So this is massive, actually, if you think about it. If David says that the Lord is my light, that's personal. He is saying that the Lord is his comfort. The Lord is his fortune. The Lord is his victory, his justice, his righteousness, his guidance, his deliverance. The Lord is his redemption, his salvation. All of this is just caught up in this one word. The Lord is my light. Wow. Isn't that amazing? And then obviously, what David says is, whom shall I fear? He doesn't have to fear anyone. Even though there are people that can hurt our bodies, that's temporary. They cannot touch our souls for eternity. Even though Satan can tempt us, and Satan can actually attack us, and persecution can come our way, and we can become martyrs for the sake of Christ, yet we don't have to fear anyone, because our salvation is eternal. Right, so what a privilege, beloved, to have God as our light. To have God as the one who basically, how can I say, who brings forth our salvation, who worked out the plan of redemption for us. The Lord is my light. We can make it personal for ourselves. The Lord is my comfort. He is my good fortune. He is my victory. He is my justice. He is my righteousness. He is my guidance. He is my deliverance. Above all, he is my redemption. He is my salvation, David says. I don't have to fear anything or anyone. So, beloved, next time when we pray, when you pray, keep this in mind. And it's always such a good thing. We sometimes ask the Lord, please, Lord, help me with this and help me with that. And we sometimes focus on all the things that God can give us, and we don't really focus on who he is and what he has accomplished for us, and especially our privileges. Just think about it. If you pray and you pray, Father, I thank you that you are the one that is in control of my salvation. Thank you for your redemption. Thank you, Father, for being my comfort. Even in times of trouble, you are my comfort. Thank you, Father, that you have good fortune for me. Thank you, Father, that you are victorious and you've been victorious through Christ over sin and death. And thank you that you are my victory. You are my justice. You are my righteousness. You are my guidance. And you are my deliverer. All these things we can say to the Lord. And what we're doing is we are glorifying him. We are uplifting him by talking about our privileges on the one end, but also at the same time talking about his attributes of who God is. Beloved, it just changes our prayer life if we start acknowledging who God is. And it's amazing, as we acknowledge these things about God, our faith in him just becomes stronger. It's just absolutely amazing. Right, so the privilege of a saint or a believer, one of the privileges is that we have God as our light. But then, that's not all. Another privilege that we have as believers is that we have God as our guide. Now, in Psalm 48, verse 14, the sons of Korah says the following, "For this is God, our God forever and ever." What a declaration. For this is God, who he is, God forever and ever, which means God is from everlasting to everlasting. God has no beginning, he has no end. Verse 14 continues to say, "He will be our guide even to death." Wow. He will be our guide even to death. Beloved, in the commentary, I just read a few things, and I just want to share it with you because it so describes the fact that God is our guide even to death. And it's so beautiful that he says, "He will be our guide even to death," which means I can look forward to the day not forward in the sense of, oh, I want it to happen, but I can look forward, né? In the sense of looking into the future and know that God will be there. God will be my guide. Even as I go through the shadow or the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. I shall fear nothing, for God is with me. Now, he will be my guide in that moment when I die. When I go through the valley of the shadow of death, then I know that God will be my guide even there. He will guide me from this life into eternal life. You see, because it's God who orders the steps of his people. God orders our steps. God is the one who taking us from birth, now when we receive the breath of life, until death, where we give up the breath of life. So from birth until death, God is the one who orders our footsteps. It is God who holds us in his right hand. That's his hand of strength, nah? His hand of power. He holds us firm in his hands, and nobody can take us out of his hand. But that's not all. You see, God is the one who guides us with his counsel and with his judgment. God is the one who gives us direction. God is the one who gives us his instructions, his commands, his direction so that we can follow in it. God is the one who guides us through his word so that we can know what we need to do. Okay? But then another thing that we need to understand with regards to the fact that God is our guide is that God is the one who guides us through all the snares and the difficulties of life. Even when we walk into the valley of the shadow of death, God is there to guide his own. And he will do it. Because that's who we have. We have God as our guide, beloved. Wow, it's amazing. God is our guide. Now, this is one of the things that we sometimes struggle with, don't we? How does God guide us? Yes, we know that in this context, we know that God is the one who guides us. And this is what the sons of Korah said. God guides us. Now, even to death, even to the point where we die, when we die, God is the one who guides us. This just basically tells us that step by step, God is the one who guides us in the right direction so that we, at the end of the day, can reach that point where we exchange the here and the now, the temporary, with eternity. And in the process, he guides us. And what is God's means of guidance? Well, for us, beloved, as New Testament believers who have the full canon of the Scripture, who has all 66 books of the Old and the New Testament, for us, the way that God guides us is through his word. So as we study the word, as we learn the principles of his word, God is the one who guides us through his word. So there are times that he reminds us of certain passages of Scripture that we read, or certain things in the Scripture that we've read, certain principles that we've embraced from Scripture, and that guides us through life. God's instruction, God's commands, the things that God has written down for us, God's revelation in Scripture is the thing that guides us through this life, even to the point of death. That's the amazing thing about God. So how will I know what God wants me to do? Is I have to study the Scripture. I have to spend time in the Word of God to hear what he wants. And then as I follow his guidance from Scripture, as I follow his instructions, as I do what he wants me to do, it is God who guides me. If I do what he says in Scripture, that's him guiding me. His word guides me. Now, his word is like a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's the word of God that gives us guidance in everything we do. And beloved, sometimes it's hard. There are certain things that is not in Scripture. The Bible doesn't speak about computers and all the things that's happening in our time and that we are living in now. But let me tell you, the Word of God is amazing. It guides us. It gives us the principles that we need to live a life that is pleasing unto God. Right, so not only is God our light, that's a privilege that we have as believers, that he's our light, he is our guide. That's another one. And what's closely connected to the fact that God is our guide is the fact that we have him as our lawgiver. Oh, beloved, we don't have to figure out laws. Governments don't even have to figure out laws. All they need to do is to go to Scripture. They need to go to the one who is the lawgiver. They need to go to God, and God will give them the direction that they need. That's the wonderful thing about God. And in Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22, we read the following. It says, "The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us." And the word Lord here is the word Yahweh. Yeah? And the word Yahweh basically is the covenant name of God. So what is God? God is the judge of his people. God is the lawgiver of his people, and the Lord is the king of his people. And what is he going to do ultimately? He will save us. So it's kind of the triple role of God that we see here as the Savior of Israel, and obviously our Savior as well. Né? But when we look at God as our lawgiver, we can firstly say that God is the lawgiver. He was the lawgiver already to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when he gave them instruction. But then God is not only the lawgiver then, which means initially he gave the law or what the instructions to Adam and Eve. No, when we get to the Ten Commandments, the law of Moses, it's even more instruction, more the lawgiver gives us more things that he wants us to do and the way we wants us to do. And especially in that case, it was the laws that governed Israel as a nation. Okay, so we have the instructions that was given to Adam and Eve. Then we have the law of Moses, which includes the Ten Commandments, the moral law of God. And then we have the law, thirdly, within the New Covenant context, we have the law written on our hearts. But who is the one who gives it? It is God, because God is the lawgiver. Beloved, we have the privilege to have the lawgiver, the one who gives the law, his law, to all of mankind to follow. We have him as our God, as our King, as our Master, as our Savior, as our lawgiver. Absolutely amazing. And if people don't want to follow the law of God, they will be judged by God. That's the way it works. God will judge those who do not do what he says, because he is the lawgiver, not only to the saved. He is the lawgiver to all, to everyone on the face of this planet. And those who do not follow him and follow his law and do what he says, they will be judged, because God's law is eternal. God's law is God's law. All right, you see, the thing is, God is the lawgiver forever. Okay, he is the lawgiver. That's who he is. But we have God as our lawgiver. That's amazing. We serve the lawgiver of the universe. We have the privilege to know him, and we have the privilege to have his law. We know what it is. We know what he wants. We know what he doesn't want. What he doesn't want. And we know what we can and cannot do. And all we need to do is to do what he says. Love it. That's the thing. All right. So we have the privilege to have God as our lawgiver. We have the privilege to have God as our guide. And we have the privilege to have God as our light. Beloved, wow. Absolutely, absolutely amazing, isn't it? We are so privileged. So let's thank him for it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can know you. Thank you, Father, that you are our light and that we have you as our light. Thank you that we have you as our guide and that we have you as our lawgiver. Oh, Father, make this real in us this coming week, we pray. Until next time when we get together again, may your name be glorified in and through each one of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you very, very much for once again listening to the privileges that we have. I hope it's a blessing to you. It's been such a blessing to me just to prepare it. And wow, it's so awesome. So I hope you've been blessed. And remember that we have all these privileges as God's people. So go out into this week and enjoy the privileges. Right? God willing, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace. Bye-bye.